Welcome to Motherhood, New Mother Trucker. Buckle up. Hi, Dad.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
It worked out, the app and figuring it out?
Yeah, it's obviously working.
Yeah, thanks, it's obviously working. I know, I just wanted to make sure on your end it was easy.
Yeah, okay.
How was your day?
Well, it wasn't too bad. I had another day back to work and cleaned up a few messes and got a little bit more organized.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I usually start, now with season two, I've been giving the opportunity to my co-host to give us, like the viewers or like the audience or whatever, the listeners, just like a 1 minute-ish, I guess, introduction about yourself. So if you're able to introduce yourself and tell us about who you are and like whatever you want to add, this is your time.
Okay.
Yeah, so whenever you're ready.
Okay, well, my name's Patrick. I'm a 62-year-old father of two adult girls. Their mother and I raised them. Her mother and I were still happily married. And our girls, we feel, are successful young ladies that have moved on to their own lives and careers. And it was our goal at the get-go to turn over responsible adults who can contribute to society. And I'm pretty much calling my job done. I'm here when they I'm here when they need me. And I'm just going to selfishly say that it's the next few years are my time and my mother's and your mother's time. So,
well, I think that's part of life, is having that stage for you and mom next, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Like I look at my husband and like thinking about our kid, I'm like, okay, what's kind of like the next step for him? Well, he's going to be like a brother soon, and then next step is going to be kindergarten, like elementary school, and then high school, and then like these stages where there's a lot to come. And then before you know it, we're going to be in your shoes and be like a little like empty nesters in the house, right?
Yeah, it's funny. I look at the raising of you and your sister. Sorry about that.
That's okay. I can edit that part out. Can you just, after it's done, repeat yourself and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, so I look at raising you and your sister, when I look back on those years, as chapters in my life, and what defines the chapters is all the times we moved with my career.
And, yeah, so true.
And I often refer to memories that we had where, oh, that was the time we lived in this city. Oh, that was the time we had just moved to this city. And so fortunately, we haven't moved for well over 10 years, and I don't plan to. But I always see life as a chapter. And looking at your generation starting out raising kids, I can say that if I put myself in those shoes 30-some years ago, they were stressful times. These were not difficult. These were not easy years, but they were the most rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm.
What you get, what you put into it was what the rewards you got out of it. So, yeah, we were busy. There was a lot of balls in the air, a lot of things going on compared to what my life is like today.
But
it is stressful at times, but the rewards are pretty significant though.
Yeah, like I look at, I don't know, my son, and I don't know, today was maybe a little bit of a harder day with him, but just like having those moments where I can just soak it in and where he's happy and giggling, and like now he's doing his like his magic tricks or whatever, even though he's a year and a half.
Right.
It's like, it's fun to watch, but it's also reflecting on like his laugh, but not realizing it, if that makes sense. So like an example would be like the last time I had him, I don't know, have a contact nap where he's like sleeping on me for his nap. Like, as much as that was like hard for me at the time because he was napping on me constantly, now I'm reflecting on it. I'm like, when was the last time? Like, I kind of miss having that connection. And now we're heading to that phase where it's like, okay, there's going to be a lot of firsts coming up, which is exciting, but also like we're moving on from some of the last things,
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
it does. I mean, there's going to be firsts and lasts. Hopefully you don't remember the last time you were able to pick them up.
Yeah.
You may be just a couple of years away from that.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
He's underneath the big boy.
Yeah.
But I also remember like this is really like, I don't know, growing up when we lived in Kamloops. I remember when you would come home from work, especially like from trips where you were gone a couple nights or whatever. And I remember you came in one time and you were like, oh, you girls used to come running down the hallway to greet me when I was home. I remember I'm like, oh, I don't really like, I can't remember the last time I did that kind of thing because we were getting older at that time too, right?
Yeah, you were.
But it must have been weird for you to have those experience because Kelsey was born in Kamloops. Like, we lived in Kamloops, but then we both, like, Kelsey was about to enter high school or whatever, and I was in high school, like, having that big amount of growth between the two of us in Kamloops. From us running down the hallway to greet you when you're home to us being like teenagers and not giving a shit.
Yeah, it was like a line in the sand. Okay, well,
Yeah.
here comes that guy that shows up every once in a while and makes us have supper around the table with no TV.
Yeah. But
Yeah.
no, like those kind of family things are important and like having those values and even traditions too. Like one of my favorite things was having our pancake breakfast every Sunday.
Yeah, that was I really enjoyed doing that. I mean, I was guaranteed day off on Sundays, and very rarely I was away, but
Very rare.
they were important for me, and I know you girls look forward to that.
Yeah, no, we loved it. I loved those weekends too, where like you were home like 99% of the weekends. Like, I don't remember you not being home on weekends. But
Right.
like us going to Blockbuster, picking out a couple of VHS movies to watch over the weekend and like having those pancake breakfasts on Sundays. And it was nice to have those traditions because it really sets in the moral and the value that family is important.
Yeah, there was some things in my past that helped me learn to develop some sort of routines and traditions that your kids can feed from. And if the Sunday breakfast was one, the one I recall that I instituted was when I was home, we had supper together at the table without distraction. Those were important to me as a father. That and I don't think you girls. I don't recall you girls complaining about coming to the table for those moments.
No, Kelsey would just like take a couple bites and then tap dance while she's like chewing and then come back, take another bite, and then
Yeah,
continue that routine.
do a couple of ballet moves and come back for another.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do recall those, but for me, it was enjoyable to have that. I kind of took a lesson from. Like I wasn't raised with my father, and the parent figure I had in my house wasn't the best, but I'm grateful for his discipline, because I wasn't headed to a great place, but I'm grateful for that. But I did learn some things from people I respected through work and through my personal life, and I took a few things from people. The one thing I took from one of my aunts was one time I visited her, and I said, you raise four kids and you don't even have a dishwasher in your house. And she says, well, I didn't need one because I had four kids. And I said, well, tell me about that. She said, well, the greatest conversations I ever had with my children were when we were doing dishes together. So she rotated her kids to do dish duty, and she had these wonderful connections, conversations and connections with her kids through that process. So, and I thought there was some real value in that. And what that's kind of what I was leaning towards when I insisted that we have dinner together every night.
I was just like missing, well, not missing, sorry, like having that conversation piece and actually being able to have that moment to ask, how was your day? How did it go? Anything new happen? Like getting that chance to connect with your kids. Because it's funny, because people have also told me, like, the best conversations I've ever had with my kids were in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Like, driving to school, driving home, or whatever kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, and as kids growing up, we had a lot of time in the van, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah.
I just found out that my best friend is having her second girl, which is really exciting, and you know who I'm talking about.
It is. It's exciting for that family. I'm very encouraged.
It just reminds me of, like, with you, because you had me and Kelsey. What was your, like, instant finding out that Kelsey was going to be a girl or was a girl or whatever, being like, oh my God, I have two daughters now?
Well, I think, in all honesty, when you arrived, the fear factor really set in for me.
How so?
Well, I knew what it was like to be a boy, but I didn't know what it was like to be a girl, let alone raise one.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, I worked in a large corporation and I had a lot of mentors along the way that I connected with personally and business-wise. And one of my mentors I'd known had raised three girls. And I think at the time you were born, his last girl was just exiting high school. So I went to him one day after, probably the day after you were born, and I went to him and said, oh, you know, I have a daughter now, and I really don't know what I'm supposed to do with her, like, honestly. And he said, you know what, it's all going to come natural to you. And he said, the only piece of advice I can give you is, doesn't matter how many kids you have and what sex they are, he said, just keep them busy. You know, let them pursue their interests and invest in their interests and let them pursue it. If they want to play soccer like you did, let them play soccer. You know, if they want to dance like Kelsey did, let them dance. If they want to play other sports or learn a musical instrument, whatever the case, just give them every opportunity, you know, to do those things. And I said, you know what, that's great advice, but, you know, it can be quite expensive. And he said, well, think of it this way. If every dollar you spend on those things at that time is probably $2 you're going to save on legal fees later. So keep your kids busy. And you know what? He was right. I look back on it and he was right. I can look at other friends of mine and acquaintances and other people that I know through business and through personal life who had struggles with their children and for various reasons, and not specifically not for keeping them busy, but the ones who did keep them busy seemed to have some sort of a lot more satisfaction and reward through the relationship with their children.
Well, I can contest to that too, because, like, I've known friends through elementary school and high school and even now who maybe, let's say, didn't keep busy like Kelsey and I did, especially with me, like, playing soccer, like, every day with practice and stuff like that. Like, I physically did not have time to do anything else.
Yeah,
not to say, like, I should keep all my time in one thing, but, like, it really did make me focus on playing soccer and doing well in school and think about my future and, like,
And I think that was a big part of it too. And also I have to agree. I also have to believe that a big part of how you and your sister turned out had a lot to do with having a stay at home parent in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this by default. It wasn't planned. I had a job that forced me to travel, which forced someone to stay home to care for the kids. And Mom and I both agreed that the best person to care for our kids is someone who is deeply in love with them. So, and I'm not being judgmental. I think there's some fantastic single moms and parents or dual working families that do a fantastic job. But for us, it was something that made a difference for us, having having mom in the home. The stability, you kids knew you were getting picked up after school. You knew there was going to be a hot meal every night. You knew you had warm clothes and a warm place to sleep. These were things that unfortunately, some kids don't take for granted.
Like, do take for granted, you mean?
Yes. They suffer from not having those things available to them. But
totally.
We found that at the end of the day, when I look back, it was probably one of the most significant things we did was, you know, having mom in the home while I traveled. There were sacrifices financially and things like that, for sure. But
I didn't feel like it though growing up.
No, when we look back, I don't think we missed out on a lot. I didn't have a passion for big boy toys like quads and RVs and boats and stuff. And so we didn't have that to contend with. But
I also can't see you having those big boy toys either.
No, it was never my take. I just didn't want to be bothered with it. I just thought they were money pits.
Yeah.
And you know, having the help of a financial planner realize our goals and getting them was a significant change in our lives as we aged later. You know, it helped get you girls into university. Mm-hmm. It helped get you through university. These were lessons that I learned later on in life, but I'll hopefully pass them to your generation get a financial planner. It doesn't matter how old you are, get one.
Mm-hmm. Two things I will say to that. First, just with like no big boy toys or whatever, like sure, you can put your money, if you had extra money, into a new TV and new this and new that, like spending that extra money maybe into experiences. And I know that's something that my husband and I would like to do with our kids, is like spending that time and making new experiences, whether it is doing a road trip or traveling somewhere or spending money on an experience within town or whatever, right? Exactly. Because if they want the latest toy or whatever, they're just going to play with it for like a week or two and then they give up on it, kind of thing.
You're right. I didn't want to invest in things that I felt that I may lose interest quickly. Like, people often said they have a cottage at the lake. Well, then you're obligated with every day off you have is to go to the lake.
That's true too.
Some people like that. That's great. And it works for them. That's fantastic. I looked at it like owning a boat. I think there's only two good days when you own a boat, and that's the day you buy it and the day you sell it. And all I'm doing is listening to other people's experiences with their boats.
Yeah.
You know, so I've never owned one. I've never owned one, so I can't speak by experience, but I'm just judging the, you know, the comments and the frustrations of people who are boat owners.
But well, yeah. Especially in Kamloops though, too. Like, how often do we take the fucking boat out?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There would be like,
take it down the river. You don't need a boat. You just jump on a log and the thing will take you 30 miles an hour down the river.
I was just going to say, like, even if we went tubing and falling off that freaking boat, we would have been gone.
Well, yeah, for sure. I mean, but like you said, we, when we had time off to do things, we did different things. We did the winter tubing at Harper Mountain. Some days,
you know, what I think about is our bike rides, MacArthur Island.
Oh yeah.
Yep. That was like when we were really young. And those are the things I look back on. I'm like, that was an actually very like that like stuck with me. And like that's something I definitely wanted to instill in our family growing up.
For sure. Doing some athletic things together is really encouraged.
Yep. And then going to the library, I remember downtown Kamloops. And having that talking tree in that library too. I think they probably got rid of it by now.
Oh, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
So, and the other point I want to make with, like, mom being a stay-at-home mom, I didn't know it was by default, but it does make sense now. Now, jumping to my generation and today's society with things being more expensive and the cost of childcare and food and gas and taxes and whatever, I feel like a lot of women maybe who are my age or whatever are not getting that opportunity to be like, you know what, I would like to be a stay-at-home mom due to these extra I guess, inflation.
I fully agree. I'm sure there's scores, scads, hundreds, thousands, if not millions of women that are moms that would love to stay home all day and raise their children. But in today's world, the expectation of owning a home is really, really difficult for a medium income family. And dual incomes has almost become their requirement just to have any hope of generating some wealth through a home. And it's tough for that generation, for sure. I mean, we felt it was tough too, and I'm sure my parents felt it was tough, based on all things being equal. But I think exceptionally it's difficult for your generation now. I think it's gone to a point where it's going to push a lot of families out of the ability to own a home, which is unfortunate.
And it just makes me, like, I am very thankful that we got our house when we did. And with our renovations and stuff, now we're able to fully incorporate our whole house for our growing family. But I, like, if I put myself in a family's shoes who has to rent, and sure, they might have this, like, the, I guess, commitment of the landlords that they're staying there, or the house is not selling, but still, you don't know what can happen, and the landlord can sell, or they might want to take over their property, like what we did. And I don't know, the stress of moving, like a family that, and trying to find like a home or a suite that is affordable today, like that would be, I don't know, it would be too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's stressful enough for your generation now. To be renting and have that uncertainty is a difficult thing to withstand too. So it's kind of a double-edged sword for your generation, and it's really unfortunate, but it's where we are in our evolution of generations these days.
Yeah, like I know you just talked about like not having everything with Kelsey and I growing up, like financially, like I didn't really feel that. Like you guys obviously did a good job to give us everything that we wanted, and you guys did. But yeah, like it's kind of crazy to think that like now couples, both people are like essentially forced to be able to go to full-time work and still pay childcare, which is like probably $1,000 a month. Like that's a lot of money, $1,000 a month.
It's significant, even though it's tax deductible. It's a significant amount of money, and it's difficult. And yeah, you'd love to have somebody stay with your child who's deeply in love with them, but it's a tough choice to make. And eventually families do climb out of it. They make that sacrifice. They do this for 10 or 12 years and they climb out of this thing and they build a little bit of wealth and they move on.
So true. So true. But I'm also very thankful too. Like I know you guys didn't really have the opportunity to have family when we were growing up, but having you guys and like my husband's mom and children too has made a whirlwind of a difference raising my son.
Yeah, you know, that I never think about that often enough, is that we rarely lived. I mean, for all the years mom and I have been married, I think maybe out of, I mean, I think 4 out of the 31 years we've been married, we've actually lived in a community where we actually had family living there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically just been us everywhere we went, and friends and neighbors that we depended upon.
Mm-hmm. Like, so, that's so crazy to think about.
Something I often overlook too.
Yeah. And just like seeing your parents, like both sides or whatever, like maybe what, a couple times a year, and the family in Saskatchewan, like every once in a while, to like mom's parents like a couple times a year, like geez, like my son sees you guys like a couple times a week.
which is wonderful. I mean, it's, you know, it's probably a little bit of what your sister is experiencing right now, but it's all part of life. And I mean, because we were alone, it was important for me to become a father that I wanted to be, and not having a lot of experienced mentors to tell me what fatherhood looked like, I sometimes went to what was it? Well, let me just back up. I had worked for a large company, and I was able to go to conventions and stuff and hear guest speakers and people talk. And some of these folks were really experienced and had some great things to say. And some of them were just really not my cup of tea. But one guy I briefly heard had some, I thought, some value, not only in business, but for family skills. And so I was on the road a lot, so I had a lot of time behind the wheel, and I bought a bunch of cassette tapes off from this guy, and I started listening to his cassette tapes as I was driving over the span of about 3 or 4 months. And I got a few gems out of this guy. I think his name is Brian Tracy. I should give credit where it's due. And I think he was a psychologist. And what I learned more parenting skills from this guy than I learned from business from this guy. And actually, I was there for business purposes. But and I'll be honest, he's the one that taught me the palms up and the fingers spread.
I thought you were going to say the 1, 2, 3.
No, it was that as well. It was that as the discipline piece as well. And there was a few others that don't come to mind right now. But the one that really stuck was the greeting that we do with yourself and your sister, with the palms up and the fingers spread, just to say that, I love you unconditionally. That's my 10 fingers is all the love in the world for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I taught you girls when you were little, as soon as you could speak, it was that discussion was had. I mean, this is how much daddy loves you, all the 10 fingers in the world. How much does daddy love you when you're bad and you show me one finger? And I said, no, it's always 10. I may not like your behavior, but I always will love you. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important to have your young children understand that your love was unconditional.
Yeah.
You know, even when you were misbehaving or your sister misbehaved, it was important to know that you were still loved all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm happy we still do that gesture today.
Even as adults.
Yep.
It's kind of crazy to reflect about like who you want to be as a parent from what you didn't have growing up, if that makes sense.
Well, probably more of what I learned about parenthood was what not to do, I think. You know, I took a lot of lessons about, I'm not going to do that to my kid, or I'm not going to be that parent, or I'm not going to. Those are the things I remember the most. I'm sure I was taught a lot more of the other positive things, the to-dos rather than the not-to-dos. But the not-to-dos are what stuck with me sometimes.
And I think that's kind of true, too. Like, I always reflect and be like, especially when I was pregnant with my first and not really knowing what I was going to get into, telling myself, well, I'm not going to do that with him, or I'm not going to be like that, or I'm not going to let him do this. And like, rather than focusing on like, these are the things I would like to try to accomplish as a parent or fulfill, or I don't know. It's kind of like weird, based off of like what I'm not going to do on the negatives versus focusing on the positives. But I guess that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember before you were born that was, we didn't want to be that parent that was going to throw a whole bunch of disposable diapers into the landfill. We're going to do cloth diapers and wash them and clean them. Oh, that lasted a week.
My God, really?
Oh, yeah. That lasted a week. I didn't know that. Oh, with this. I'm going to Superstore for diapers.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I did not know that.
Yeah. And I remember when one of the other advices my buddy gave me, because he had a son about a year ahead of you. And he said, as soon as they let you out of the hospital, he said, you grab every diaper you can get your hands on and just fuck it. And luckily, you were born in February and living in Saskatchewan at the time. It was easier to stuff my downfield jacket with diapers.
That's so true.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, your jacket's extra poofy today. And like, yeah, it's cold.
I remember doing that, yes.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I did not know that you guys even tried to do cloth diapers.
I think we tried briefly. I mean, your mom didn't. I don't know. I don't recall your mom ever wanting a big part of it, but I was kind of adamant about it. Thought we'd give it a not, but it turns out all the work was on her. So
she's like, we're not doing this.
The poor woman. I figured, okay, the hell with this. I'm going to Superstore for diapers.
Oh my God, that's too funny. That is too funny. But yeah, you just kind of like base off of experience and like, well, I'm not going to do that or do this. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Now I'm like raising a son, and now for me, I will be raising a daughter in the middle of August. Like, it's weird to, like you said before, like, it doesn't matter what the sex is, like, keep them busy or whatever. But like, I don't know how it is being a boy, but I know how it is being a girl. Like, it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic.
Yeah.
I know, like, my husband's like, I don't know anything about girls. Like, I don't know what to do about raising girls. I'm like, oh, you'll do okay. Like, I don't know. Don't treat them any differently just because they're a different sex, right?
No, I didn't. I kind of think when you girls were pushing into puberty and into puberty, I kind of just sort of handed you back off to your mom.
Yeah.
You know, and let you have, you know, Dad, I need to talk to you about something. Okay, whatever it was. But the puberty piece sort of turned, I just sort of turned that back over to your mom. She kept you.
I don't ever remember you talk about puberty with me or Kelsey ever. Mom, she gave me a book. I actually don't remember her sitting down with me to talk about it. She just gave me a book about puberty. And I know talk about it in school or whatever, but like, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember talking about it with you.
No, I don't remember it either. Because I'm pretty sure it didn't happen.
But yeah, crazy. Yeah, well, it kind of like brings us to our time. Like, I don't know if you want to like add anything else to this conversation for this podcast or...
No, I think I had a good discussion. I didn't have an expectation that I would remember all these things that you've churned up in me.
Mom said the same thing too. She's like, it's funny what you can recall once you start talking about it.
Yeah, it is. It is strange what you can recall. All I know is that probably the bulk of your listening audience is people in your same shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And given all the advice I'm going to give prior to this, but I just, you know, when you're my age and you look back on the things, I don't have any regrets. I'm just proud of what I was able to accomplish with you girls.
Oh, that's sweet.
I was proud of what Mom and I was able to do, to give you the experiences that we felt were valuable to you. And we just made a plan and kind of stuck to it.
Yeah, like there's, I don't know, everyone had, like, friends of mine definitely had different upbringings, you know, and it's just funny how some people turned out thinking that they were going to be successful or whatever, and maybe turning out the complete opposite. But I feel like we had a very, I don't know, like, consistent childhood and upbringing, and having that consistency definitely makes a big part to who we are today.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like, we were very lucky that we didn't have a very trauma-filled childhood, if that makes sense.
You're right. There wasn't a lot of U-turns, and there wasn't a lot of trauma, and there wasn't a lot
And I know not everyone can say that.
No.
Not everyone can say that, but, like, I feel very lucky that we had a very fortunate childhood.
Yeah, it's true. The only catastrophe I think we kind of went through as a family was probably getting caught coming home on 9/11, getting stuck in the airport for a night.
That was mostly stress for you and Mom. Like, Kelsey and I barely remember that.
Yeah, I can honestly tell you that was probably the most stressful moment of my life.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it not only plays the safety into you, but it's like safety of my family. Like, how am I going to get my family home safe?
Yeah, and the funny thing about it was being in the air when the attacks are taking place, you don't even know it. And this was pre-internet, well, kind of almost at the birth of the internet. So nobody had phones that were telling you what the news was telling you. And And I was disconnected from a television at the time in the airport. Didn't understand what was happening. So it was a pretty stressful time.
Yeah, no, that would be very stressful for sure. I can't imagine now being a parent. Now, I can say that, like, I can't imagine going through a stressful moment like that. Like, remember the other weekend we took my son to the downtown park in Nanaimo?
Oh,
and
yeah.
we just missed that active shooting by like 15 minutes.
Yeah, that was a close call.
And I remember telling you, I'm like, I don't know what I would have done having my son in the car. And if we would have came up to that active, like, I have goosebumps talking about it. And that was like an active shooting. You know what I mean? Like, that was like such a scary potential thought of what could have happened. But like,
yeah,
with you going through 9/11 with your family, I'm like, I can't imagine. It's different now being a parent because you can reflect on it and be like, okay, that's how mom and dad really felt. I understand how what they went through.
Yeah, I mean, it was so long ago when I tell the story, it's like five sentences. But when I told the story in November of 2001, it was like 15 minutes, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. So, and it's just a different thing now. That's all.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah.
Makes it for a story for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to diminish it in any way, but yeah, we certainly.
Oh my God, no.
I mean, and I think at the end of the day, what probably made me stronger, made us all stronger at the end of the day, who knows? So there was probably a silver lining in it for our growth.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Dad, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for expressing interest for being on this episode today. So thank you. Yeah.
Well, hopefully I could bring some value to it. And thank you for having me on board.
You're welcome. And I told you, it's not all swearing.
I know. I'm happy you toned it down, though.
Okay. Well, I love you, and I'll talk to you later. Thank you again.
I love you. I love you too, sweetie.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
If you made it this far, I just want to say thank you so much for listening to Season 2. I just want to take this opportunity that I'm so grateful to have this kind of platform to freely express the positives and negatives about motherhood, about parenthood. It just really is able to allow us to open up people's eyes about the unfiltered truths about motherhood, from the good to the bad to everything. It's just really has been able to help a lot of people feel heard. So again, I just want to say thank you so much for making it this far. Please join me for the new year for a potential season 3. I'll have 2 little ones by then, so wish me luck. See you then. Buckle up, new mother trucker.